Hello.
What's your least favorite scary movie?
All these people want are horror movies or slasher films. Welcome to What's Your Least Favorite Scary Movie, the podcast where we talk about the good, the bad, the ugly, and the absurd in all of our favorite
and least favorite
scary movies.
Because we believe every horror movie rightfully has its fan base.
Even if we don't always get it.
My name is Travis.
My name is Jesse.
And welcome to
I thought
I had to lead it off because it was my pick. But if you want to go for it, go for it.
Well, this is a live, uncut, and mostly undrawn monthly bonus edition of To Be or Not To Be, as evidenced by what you just heard.
I can cut that if you need me to.
No, it's fine. Okay. I think it's funny. Leave it in. Leave it in.
Okay. All right. Yep. we're sticking true to it then, I guess. We're going to stay live.
Always here. Stay true to it.
Okay. Yeah. It's another To Be or Not To Be. And it was my pick this time. So, did a little bit of browsing. And I came across a little movie called Video Violence. Nice. And I decided that we were going to watch that for this month's episode.
A movie about snuff films made in the 80s. It's
At a video rental store.
Yeah, it's hitting all the Travis checkboxes.
Yeah, you want to know one of the main reasons why I chose this thing, though?
Why?
Because it was shot on a camcorder.
Okay.
And I like that. Like, I've been digging around lately.
Oh, you've had a bug up your butt about it, for sure.
Yeah, like, I like the
I mean look. It in a loving way.
No, I get it. Yeah, I've been into camcorder videos here yes. lately. I kind of like the old school look that it gives you. I was also just looking at all kinds of old kind of cameras and stuff, and this is, like, one that I could probably affordably get if I ever wanted to. It's just like a nice look to it.
Yeah.
Actually, there is a quote in this movie for how it is so lovingly put. Not so lovingly, actually. He describes them as, let's see.
Oh, you wrote it down.
I did. Where the fuck did I put it?
Oh, boy.
Here we go. Quality of soap opera or rotten commercials.
Yeah,
that's how he puts it. Yeah, because I mean that's the quality that you get from that.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't help but think back to the very divisive VHS night on The Last Drive-In.
Yeah, I thought a lot about that too.
We are proud.
Yeah.
Proud owners of the Iron Mutant Challenge certificate.
And we've watched one of those movies, Things, multiple times on our own.
Yeah.
Just because we actually
willingly.
It.
Yeah. It's fun. I quoted it at trivia the other night.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
I did. Frequently, I'll just go party, party, party.
I like it. You know, I don't have a problem with it. I know some people don't necessarily, it's hard for some people to be able to stomach it, but I like it.
Yeah. I've recommended it to other people, and I've gotten mixed results with it. I don't recommend it to everyone.
No, it's definitely not for everybody. It's a very, if you're weird and you know it, and if you like some of the shit that we like, then I think maybe try it. But even for some of you people, it might be a bit much.
I'm also curious how many people are listening to this today instead of watching the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's probably a lot. Well, good thing about podcasts are that you can listen to them at any point.
No,
so
you have to listen to this one today.
On that Monday commute, you'll be fine. You'll be all right. Okay, we ready to get on into the background information on this movie?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. So Video Violence released December 2nd, 1987. We watched it on Tubi, which is a great place for you to be able to find all kinds of weird, trashy horror movies, such as Video Violence.
Mm-hmm.
It's written by Gary Cohen and Paul Kay, directed by Gary Cohen, music by Gordon Ofsiu, and special effects makeup by Mark Dolson and Mark Quitek. Starring Art Neal as Steven, Jackie Neal as Rachel.
They were actually Hubby and Wubby?
Hubby and Wubby, not Bubby.
Not Bubby. No, that's incestuous.
That's the spousal version of Bubby.
Yeah, you're my hubby. I'm your Wubby.
God, we're getting weird.
We are. Guys, we don't do like a formal warm-up or anything before we record, but we were getting real fucking weird while we were talking about coming in to record. So it's going to be an interesting double recording session today. So we're doing Hostel Part 2 right after
this. Yeah, so you're already primed for that one later this week. Kevin Haver as Rick, Uke as Eli.
Okay.
Bart Sumner as Howard.
Okay.
All right, Jesse, time for our favorite game on the show. Budget or Bucked Head?
That's a mean joke. It's a mean question. We know where the answer is for this.
But what if they had a budget and they just were so bad at managing their money that they blew through it?
All of their money went towards Howard's cousin Eddie outfit.
Yeah, yeah. They had to pay rights for that.
Yeah.
Okay, so obviously budget or Bucked Head. all right, and surprisingly, I do have a number.
Oh, wow.
And it's a number that I don't know if I 100% believe it or not, because I know that the equipment costs more than this. But Gary Cohen, as recently as 2020, has stated that the budget for this thing was $6.
Okay. I've often thought about stuff like this myself. Like, when I think about what my budget is for, like, say, cosplays and stuff, or, mm-hmm. like, if I was to, you know, if we were to, like, shoot something in our house.
Right.
And would I count the stuff that we already owned? Probably not. I'd be like, I already have it.
That's true.
It's like dumpster diving in your own home.
You know, you got a good point. He probably already had this home camcorder for home videos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's count. What my thought process is on it. Because, like, why would you count it towards your budget if you already have it?
So where did the $6 go? Was there one actor who's like, I'll do it for $6? Or one person was like, I'll do it for $5. And it's like, all right. And then $1 went to, like, the...
I think it went to the ingredients to make the arm salami.
The arm salami?
Yeah, like that was for the tube of salami.
I think it went for the gas that they spent for their like slow chase scene, because they had to use like a decent chunk of gas for that because they recorded it so slowly.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Obviously, this thing did not go to theaters, so I don't have a box office. I know.
Not even shocking. A double feature with Night of the Living Dead in New York? New York City!
Dude, that would actually be fun if somebody did a double feature of that.
Yeah.
You know? Like, just go full in theme with the movie here. But no.
Okay.
Worldwide gross, nothing, obviously. But I do have the IMDb score. And that is 5.4 out of 10.
Wow!
It's got its audience.
Wow!
This movie, surprisingly, I guess depending on who you are, has a pretty decent little cult following.
Okay.
Yeah, I've actually seen it mentioned on some of the boutique Blu-ray communities. This is a weird one that people are like, yeah, I want that in the best quality available.
Okay.
Even though it's
okay,
like...
that's a choice.
Yeah, like I felt 100% comfortable like watching this on Tubi. And I was like, this is probably the best it'll ever look. I was totally on board with it because it's not going to look good. Never.
I think it was funny at one point where he was like, I don't know, I couldn't see the killer's faces. And like, it's not that the killer's faces were covered or anything. It was just like the quality of the video.
It was really cool though, because like, it, you know, it had that VHS look to it.
Yeah.
All right. So I got three movies here and I decided to make a fun little theme that was related to the movie here.
Okay.
So the whole point of this movie is Steven, the owner of the rental store, is mad that everybody in town is only fascinated with horror movies and slashers.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, he makes a distinction between both of those as different genres, but that's how he is.
Yeah, so, you would think a movie snob like him would know that like slasher is a subgenre within horror.
Right, you would think. But
he's one of those snobs that's too good for horror as a genre in general.
Yeah, he thinks like slashers are like the worst form. He's like, they're not even horror. They're just slashers.
Yeah, slashers.
Yeah. Well, okay. So I picked three movies here that released in 1987 to compare this to. And they are all movies that I think Steven would hate.
Okay. I like that name.
The first movie, Doom Asylum.
Doom Asylum
is back. We covered that on a previous Tubi or Not To Be.
I actually was thinking about it during this movie. Like at one point there was like a driving shot that made me think of when they were driving,
and it's like the reused footage of that.
Yeah,
Doom Asylum just over and over again. Yeah, funny, you go to the IMDb page for video violence and Doom Asylum is like one of the suggestions. Like, yo, you want to watch Doom Asylum now?
Correct.
Yeah, I mean, that's the double feature right there.
That is the double feature.
Doom Asylum released October 28th, 1987, with a budget of $90,000. Don't have a worldwide gross, but it has an IMDb score of 4.6 out of 10.
And if you want our full thoughts on Doom Asylum, we have covered it on another TV or not to be. So yeah, was, go ahead and search for that.
And that was a wild ride. We can thank Joe Freakatron and Chad for getting us. It was almost like tricked. We almost got tricked into watching that one.
Yeah, it is a. It was a very like Stockholm syndrome kind of situation where like we were already there and watching it. And it was like, oh well, here we are.
Like just seeing Chad and like celebrate, he's like, oh my god, I got somebody else to watch it. I was like, damn, I got like he got me. I got. All right, second movie, Blood Rage. Steven would hate Blood Rage.
Steven would absolutely hate Blood Rage. Obviously, we've covered this as well, and we love it as well.
He'd be watching that movie.
We watch it every year.
With Rachel, and Rachel would be like, I don't know, Steven, maybe it is cranberry sauce. And Steven's like, that's not cranberry sauce, Rachel.
She's like, are you sure they're twins and not just, like, both played by the same guy? Who's Todd? Is he Todd?
No, Rachel, they're definitely Bubbies. That released March 29th, 1987. Don't have a budget or gross, but I do have the IMDb, which is a 5.8 out of 10.
Okay.
And the final movie that Steven would hate. It's probably one of the worst in that entire year. It is Silent Night, Deadly Night 2.
Yes!
Garbage Day.
Oh my god, this is like a wonderful, weird, all day we're gonna get shithoused and watch movies.
This marathon here?
Yes.
Yeah. This is all 87. 87 had a lot of trash. Oh,
there
offer.
Were no rules.
It was a good time, man. That was like a that's a good year if you like that type of shit, that type of junk right there.
See, and we will at some point cover Silent Night, Deadly Night 2 on the podcast. Our reigning argument right now is do we cover the first one first? And I say no because you cover the first one when you cover the second one.
Yeah, you
Travis
really...
disagrees.
Like, we've never even seen the first one. This is the thing. And it's weird because, like, we're missing parts of it. You know what I mean?
But we, like, have the gist.
Yeah, you get enough. Like, you're basically watching the first one in part two. You don't really need to watch the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that release.
Do you?
Oh, you did eyebrow acting right there, yeah. too. Good job. You're in character as Ricky.
Thank you.
All right. That released April 10th, 1987. Budget of $250,000 with a gross of $154,000 and an IMDb score of 3.9.
Incorrect.
Incorrect. It is the lowest rated movie out of all of these here. Okay. I've got three taglines.
Oh, thank God. Okay.
The one on the poster is when renting is not enough.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's pretty good for when, you know, like, I'm tired of renting horror movies. I want to make some.
Yeah.
Homemade ones.
Yeah.
All right. Next is, could this happen at your video store? Probably not.
Not anymore, anyway. Not in 2024.
Don't have to worry about that one anymore. And the final, a must-see for video store personnel and their customers.
Okay. Yep. I'm okay with that. I don't generally like reviews as taglines. We've discussed that, but...
No, I don't really either. But that one could maybe play into the movie itself because, you know...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's everybody involved.
Okay.
Okay, so that's all the stuff I have there. So it's time for us to begin talking about our thoughts on it. So, Jesse, what did you like about video violence?
Oh, I love how this was clearly made by a fan of the genre who has definitely been a big horror nerd for a really long time and has gotten that kind of ire from people around him. Like...
So actually, do you want to know something? I read some of the trivia on this.
Okay.
You know that scene in this movie where he's at the store and the lady comes in with the baby and she's like, I want to rent Blood Cult. And he's like, okay, yeah, that's fine. She's like, what's the rating? And he's like, R, but I'm assuming it's for, you know, all the violence.
And she says, oh, not nudity, so it's okay then.
Yeah, and then she rents it. She's like, this will be fine for my children to watch.
Yeah.
That is an actual conversation that he had as a video clerk. So somebody came in and rented the movie, and they're like, well, okay, there's no nudity. Okay, my kids can watch it, even though it was, like, super violent. He is... Steven in this movie. He is anti-horror, which is weird because he went and made a horror movie.
Oh, so like in real life, he's actually anti-horror.
He got really fed up with people only wanting to rent horror movies all the time at his video store whenever he worked at one. He was pretty much Steven's character in this. That's him.
Oh, wow.
Pretty much, yeah. Which is weird because you would think watching this movie that he would be like the horror nerd because like this seems like a movie. Like you said, like I would have thought somebody
that
loved horror movies.
Yeah, it definitely feels like somebody who's heard from people over and over and over again how these movies have no plot, no artistry to them, and they're just a bunch of people killing each other.
Plus you get like the little like nods to pieces. And Blood Cult.
Yeah, like know? Those are some intense needle drops right there.
Yeah, deep cut movies from the 80s, right? Like not a lot of people outside of like those countries that they release in would really know about them.
Wow, that's so weird. I guess Poe's Law, you know?
I know, right? It's strange.
But oh, well, I'm going to reclaim this as a horror fan and say that I have had this, you know, type of perception about me. And sometimes you do kind of forget about it when you're around other horror fans, which obviously we've made our own little community with, you know, the Kentucky Mutant fam, and then online we connect with other, you know, horror people, and then we go to conventions and stuff, and like it is easy to forget that not everybody understands like the thing with horror so much.
You know what's funny? I was at work the other day, and one of this person's like, she like started a conversation about Law and Order, but she said it like, hey, you like weird stuff. And then she like started like launching into like a whole like weird episode of Law and Order. I'm like, just because I talk about horror movies means like I like weird stuff.
I've definitely watched Law and Order at my grandparents' house when I was younger. Like,
to be fair for this person, that is, Law and Order is getting a little bit out there for them.
I'm just saying, like, connecting that and horror, there's a they'd have a definite like culture shock with it.
Oh yeah, for sure. Okay, is that all for you? Good.
Yeah. No, I just it really. I guess I'm a bit spun around knowing that he actually does hate horror.
I know, right? And he did a sequel. He did another one of these. I don't know. Maybe like he changed his tune.
Maybe people do change. Yeah. No, I just I really thought it was like a really clever twist on what we've all experienced. Joke's on me.
I'm sorry. I could have just let you go thinking that without ruining
it. No, it's important. I know the truth.
Okay. All right. Well, my good stuff I have for this is kind of what I was saying before, but I feel like it's like a nice little fun time capsule for that era right there. You got the shot on video look to it. You got the video store. You know, it's just kind of nice being in a setting like that. I miss it. And it's just cool getting to, like, be back in that environment in a way. I just love that look of the VHS. It's, like, such a nostalgic thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And this movie has a lot of that. Like, you can see, like, the little, like the little screen artifacts from, like, where it was on an actual cassette. Mm-hmm. And stuff like that. It just kind of like it helps play into the authenticity of an actual snuff film, which really helps whenever you watch those movies that they have in here that they play. So yeah, those are the good things I have to say about this one.
Okay.
All right. What about bad?
I feel like I tend to say this a lot with like indie films, but the pacing, man. Mm-hmm. I feel like it could have moved a little bit faster at points. I do appreciate that it had like soap opera moments, which is funny because he calls out the low budget films as being like soap operatic.
Yeah.
And it does kind of have that, especially like with the swelling music at times and like over the top reactions. And I really appreciate it. I do just wish like we kind of moved through it a little bit quicker. Yeah. It sounds like they really didn't have much rehearsal time before they did the scenes because there would be like an like it didn't feel like a real flow of conversation between one, like aside from the scenes with him and his wife, which makes sense since they're actually husband and wife.
Yeah.
Like all of the other scenes had like a little pause before the next person speaks, which isn't the natural flow of a conversation.
No, and like I think a lot of that can also come down to editing. Because, like, he could have just cut a lot of that shit out. This movie could have been Like, it's not like a theatrical release. This could have been however long he needed it to be, but it was like an hour, a little over an hour and a half.
Yeah.
I think it could have been like an hour 10.
Yeah. And easily. The sequel is an hour and 15. I saw it like under the recommended when the credits started rolling last night. So.
And again, looking at the trivia, he, I think, had like a day-ish to actually edit this thing. He had to borrow like a news station's like a...
Oh, place. Wow.
Yeah, he like went over there and did it like during the second shift. Wow. So he had like, I guess he was supposed to have like 8 hours or something like that.
That's the $6 he spent.
It could be. Yeah, he maybe like is like, all right, I'll give you $6. Just like let me edit this shift for a little bit. And yeah, he didn't really edit much. Like there's not a lot of cuts. Kind of like what you're saying. Like I have pacing as one of my bad things here too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just drags at times. Did you have anything else?
That was really the big thing for me. Much like Doom Asylum, I feel like this movie with a re-edit could be quite a jaunt.
Yeah, you know what? That pretty much sums up mine too. The only other thing I had was like the score is a little not fitting at times.
Oh no, I love it.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of is. Camp. Yeah, it's camp and it is kind of that soap opera type vibe that you were talking about. So I think I can let it slide a little bit. But yeah, it just doesn't... There are just times it's just not really fitting. It's just so weird.
Yeah.
Okay. Ugly.
Snuff films.
Snuff films, yeah. Do you call them stuff films or snuff?
Snuff. Okay. Allergies. My slightly congested when I said it, so it sounded like stuff.
I gotcha. Yeah.
Snuff films.
Snuff films are pretty nasty. Yeah. They do go there in this movie. I've got Stephen being a movie snob, like a little gatekeeper. I hate that shit. He has to criticize the entire town's interest. He's the fucking video store clerk. He's got the whole place loaded with horror movies, right? Like, what else are they supposed to be renting?
Well, like, and here's the thing also. Like, I think we've all gone through a phase like that, but most of us grew out of it once we stopped being, you know, teenagers.
Yeah, exactly.
Like...
We did. I definitely had something like that.
When you leave the small town and go to a big city and you're exposed to more viewpoints, you're supposed to become more open as a person. And it's like he reverted when he came back to the small town.
Yeah, he was from New York and went to a small town and... I was like, yeah, I'm so much better than these fucking assholes.
I have a quick question.
Yeah.
Does he look like a young Chris Elliott to you?
Remind me again who Chris Elliott is.
I'm going to pull up a picture for you.
Okay. To me, he reminded me a lot of the guy from Phantasm. What the fuck is his name? He's the ice cream man that everybody... Like, he plays guitar with his buddy. Oh, that guy.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Can you see it?
yeah, a little bit.
Okay. A little bit. Like when he's like, look at that face. Look at that face. Put a ponytail on it.
That looks like AI generated, right? Everybody just Google search Chris Elliott. weird looking. Yeah. Yeah, I can see it. He kind of does look like him. Okay. And absurd. What is absurd about this movie?
Honestly, the thought that a whole town could be into horror and that you wouldn't be ostracized for it.
Right, yeah.
that's weird to try and imagine having that kind of a connection just on the horror show. Let's not even get into the snuff film piece of it, because that's completely absurd. Although, I guess they haven't like turned into, the town has become its own little like cult.
Pretty much, yeah. So. And they're all so coordinated, too. Yeah. They follow these people around and just, like, know exactly when to plant a tape on somebody just at the right time. Yeah, it is a little bit absurd.
It kind of gives me, like, Troll 2 vibes, almost, with the way the whole town is, like, in on it, and they need outsiders to feed their, like, bloodlust.
We need to find out what the town spelled backwards.
Oh, my God.
Spells here. Could be onto something.
Yeah.
All right.
Murder. The town is Red Rum.
What if it's like, what if it just spells snuff film backwards? all right. I got a couple of absurds here. Okay. First off, I got the absurd slow car chase that happens towards the end of this movie with Steven and What's his name? Eli.
Oh, can I add in their slow motion moment in the cellar afterwards where they realize that they're fucked and then all of a sudden it just slows down and the townspeople are going, whoa, whoa, whoa,
whoa, I like whoa. That. That was like a good, that was good. I think the slow motion that was very abused was the vampire movie.
No, okay. I take it back because having that slow motion there is amazing because you get to see what all the extras are doing and some of them don't know what they're doing. Like one of them has a tiller in his hand and he's just kind of like pumping it in the air a little bit.
This is what happens when you get too many extras in a mob scene like that. That's what happened with Halloween Kills. We got the girl with the iron. Yeah, people just don't know what the fuck to do.
Like, I don't... This was in the prop closet. This is what I have.
This is the last thing left. I don't know. I'm helping. let's see. I've got extended shot of a dog sniffing a cam, which I have in my own little quotations, snuff films and sniff films. Because it's just like this shot of this dog walking with its kid, and it finds the camera and it just goes over there and sniffs it for like 10 seconds. And then the dog walks away. It's like, yep, this made it into the movie. This made the cut. We needed this. This is world building right here.
Well, we do pull back to show that there's a body in that bag.
Okay. Well, whatever. I just thought it was funny that the dog went over there and sniffed the camera for so long. I thought, yeah, this is great. This is great footage right here.
I probably have videos like that on my phone of Talia.
And you probably do. And the final one is like when that one dude is out in the yard and he's like doing yard work. I don't know what he's doing. He's digging like the biggest fucking hole
ever.
He's digging
a big hole and then he goes into his house and he nods the way Kiefer Sutherland drives in Freeway. Yeah. Like it's like.
I fucking love it though. I want a clip of this and I want to send it as a reaction to all kinds of things. It's just like nod entering and be like, yeah.
Yeah, these
this
boys
is
are,
awesome.
These boys are getting pretty good. It's okay. It's pretty okay. It's pretty good.
And this is he's actually saying these things while nodding and drinking a beer and watching his stuff.
There wasn't a pretty script cool. for this. I feel like there probably wasn't a real script for the whole movie other than like the investigation scenes between him and his wife and like the setup between him and Rick at the beginning. I think those are the only actual scripted things and the rest. And Joanne's like monologue at the end. I think the rest is all improv.
You're probably right. Like, he just showed up. He's like, all right, Bill, we're going to be filming. Can I come by to your house? We'll just get some footage of you watching a snuff film. And he, like, shows up.
But you
up.
Need to enjoy it.
He pulls into the driveway. He's like, Bill, why are you digging such a big fucking hole? He's like, dude, you said this for the movie. He's like, I never said any of that. We do not have a script. Okay. Time to rate it.
Okay.
What do you rate this thing?
5.5.
Oh, 5.5. That's higher than I was expecting.
Yeah, I wasn't sure, but I was kind of going to do one of those, like, be on the fence about it until we talked about it. But I just, like, talking about the absurds just cracked me up so much.
Yeah, it's just so weird, right? It's kind of got that weird little charm to it. I think I'm going to go 6.
Okay.
Yeah.
So 5.75 starting average.
Which that's like right
once
in
again,
line.
Once again, suck with, it, IMDb.
We're right there with them.
We're over them.
Oh yeah, we are. 5.4 was IMDb. Oof, we're coming up close on Blood Rage here at 5.8.
Oh boy.
Yeah, maybe we can.
Blood
pass
Rage
it.
Is also like severely underrated on IMDb.
I'm
Let's
pretty
be
sure
real.
On our show, Blood Rage got an absurdly high rating.
Or an accurately high rating.
I don't know. We had Steve on that episode, so I don't know what he rated it. He could have like sandbagged the entire thing.
He probably did, actually.
No, he liked it. I remember he liked it.
Steve doesn't understand the 10-point rating system. Steve, if you're listening, I'm calling you out because he, like, if he hates something, it gets a 0, and he loves something, it gets a 10. He doesn't appreciate all of the other numbers.
Maybe. I can't remember. Okay. All right. So let's talk about video.
Also, let me plug the Patreon real quick. We did a commentary track for Blood Rage.
Oh, yeah, we did.
So if you're a budget tier patron, you can listen to that. If you want to become a budget tier patron, guess what? That'll still be up there for you.
That's true. Always there. We got a Sleepaway Camp one also. Mm-hmm. We should do another soon.
We should. Those are fun.
Those are a lot of fun. Maybe video violence too. And there's Talia. Talia's chiming in. I don't know if you all can hear that.
Yeah, she likes the dog scene, and she's offended that you called it absurd.
I think she liked the sniff film, though.
She said that was a good joke.
All right. Hold on.
Let's pause this for a second. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. We start off with a prologue, which I appreciate. I enjoy a prologue in a book.
I do too, except in movies.
It's these two guys. They're at a store. A woman comes in to get a shirt, and oh boy, there's a camera in the dressing room. Also, this is the most claustrophobic fucking dressing room.
Yeah.
And it's only got a curtain covering it. Everything about this is like a big fat fucking no.
Yeah, it's really, really bad. I felt like I couldn't tell. It's definitely not the camera angle or the lens, because it's just like you can tell she's barely standing in anything.
I think they borrowed the store for this scene, and the store doesn't actually have a dressing room. They just like emptied out a closet for them real quick.
Oh, you're probably right. You're like, they just threw a curtain.
Yeah,
over top
they're like,
of
this
it.
Is where we keep our cleaning supplies. So can yeah. we move the mop for a minute? Yeah. So yeah, she goes in there, and the guys go from being pervy to being murdery.
Yep.
And they beat her to death with a bat.
Yeah, they Wilson up. They mm-hmm. get Wilson gloves, and they get a Wilson bat, and they just.
Do you think Wilson sponsored this film?
Maybe. Maybe that's why they only needed $6. okay, so we arrive at the video studio, which is the name of the video rental store that mm-hmm. Rick owns. Or not Rick, Steven owns. Day one, there is a hidden movie drop-off behind the Friday the 13th Part 5 poster.
Yes, I love that little detail. I was like, oh, yeah. That's so nice.
Yeah, I like that too. So Rick is over there collecting the movies that were dropped off overnight, and they start going through them all.
There is some fun, awkward dialogue where this movie, honestly, it gives me shades of The Room at times.
Oh, yeah.
And like dialogue like Emery saying, so how long ago did your dad die?
Like, I know, man. The
in
dialogue,
that tone.
Yeah. The dialogue is kind of weird, and I think the acting kind of helps with that, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Mark,
how's your sex life?
So they're digging through the videos, and they notice that one of them has the wrong tape in it.
Mm-hmm. And I like, this feels very real. Like, this is definitely, he has worked in a video rental store. He goes, somebody probably grabbed the wrong tape, put it in the cover, and dropped it off. They'll be by to get it later. We'll set it to the side. Like, this has happened before.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Rick is wanting to talk about not really digging the people in town here. Apparently, everybody's mm-hmm. kind of assholes because they're new. And
yeah, they don't like outsiders.
Yeah. All right. So while they're doing that, a man walks in, and he mm-hmm. asks this question.
He wants that chainsaw movie.
You get that chainsaw movie? All right, everybody, what movie do you think he's talking about here? You got that chainsaw movie. What would your guess be? The Texas Chainsaw Massacre, right?
Yes, because we don't know yet that this is a town of horror-obsessed watchers. We
right.
assume somebody comes in, asks for the chainsaw movie, they're likely talking about Texas Chainsaw Massacre. No, in fact, this is a deep cut, and they are referring to Pieces,
you know, the movie where a chainsaw is used maybe mm-hmm. once or twice. A couple yeah. of times.
Yeah, we get it on the elevator and by the pool.
Yeah, it is on the box art, I believe.
And is it in the locker room? When the detective comes out later and says, "Bastards!" Where the girl actually peed herself.
Okay, it might be. There might be a lot
yeah,
more chainsaw
I think
in this movie.
There's quite a bit of chainsaw, because we've also got Bluto the groundskeeper, who is like there as a red herring because he's got a chainsaw for his job.
That dude actually played Bluto.
Bluto?
So you know. Huh?
Bluto?
Bluto. Yeah, Pluto is that dog.
Pluto's the dog, yeah. Yeah. and also a different cartoon.
And also a planet, not planet. Oh. Yeah. All right. So, yeah, it's Pieces.
Yeah.
Weird. Okay. So,
also, can I? Sorry, we're in a mood today. This stupid fucking puzzle we still haven't gotten together, because it's 1,000 pieces.
Oh, yeah.
And 900 of them are pink. It is the hardest fucking puzzle I have ever encountered.
I just got to say, we got to have that finished before August.
We do.
Yeah. Because I've already got it in my mind that that's going to be my birthday movie.
Okay.
Pieces.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
All right. Sneak preview for August, you all.
That's right.
If Travis doesn't hold up his end of the bargain, feel free to come to us with a mob, pitchforks, ground tillers, the like, irons.
Y'all didn't talk about that chainsaw movie. All right. Well, okay, they're back in there. And they're Steven's kind of pissed off about people only being interested in horror movies, slashers, and triple X movies, which he has all of those there. So, you know, what are
so
you?
So he's kind of a hypocrite.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, you stock that
I want to put him and Nick Schwartzen's character from Parks and Rec in a room together.
Maybe he embraces the porn and the
exactly,
snuff.
Exactly. That's what happened to him, to Nick Schwartzen.
Yeah, it could be. It could happen. That could be what Video Violence 2 is about. All right, so they decide to watch the tape that got returned just to see what all is on it.
I mean, I absolutely would.
I would too, absolutely.
Like, you can't drop personal shit like that around me and not expect me to take a little peek.
No, for sure.
Yeah, like, I'm not going to go digging around in somebody's purse, but if you put
if you return
the tape,
it to my store in my video case of the movie that you rented from me, I'm going to see what you gave me instead. Yeah. Maybe I want to keep it.
And I'm
going to
really hope that it's not a home sex tape because I don't want to see that.
Or do.
It's violating.
Know.
No, it's violating.
What if they did it on purpose? Like, that's like their thing.
Well, okay, then that's involving non-consenting folks in your kink.
It's all bad, yeah. The whole thing. Okay, you know what else is really bad? A snuff film, which is
also really bad. Movie, it's also a non-consensual kink.
Yeah, for many parties involved. And that's exactly what they get here. So they're watching this little home video being shot in this dude's creepy fucking basement. It's a very nice environment for this. It does feel real, even though we know that this is a movie. But it's it's Eli and Howard, and they are cutting up this old man who they identify as Reggie, the postmaster in town.
Yeah, Rick identifies him as Reggie.
Yeah.
Because Rick has come back to town to help take care of his mother after his father died, whereas
so he's from here.
Steven and his wife have just moved to town because they wanted to slow things down a little bit.
Right. So
Context.
So they realize it's him. They're like, oh, shit, this is real. He's actually dead. Dude just actually disappeared 2 weeks ago, so maybe we know what actually happened to him now.
And Steven is like, okay, well, the killer won't realize we've seen the tape. I'm gonna go to the cops real quick, just keep the door locked. Why would he have not taken the tape with him? Like,
I know.
And Rick with him. Like, you're locking up the store anyway.
Yeah, I don't understand. I mean, it's a good call, knowing what we know later on in the movie. But
yeah,
in this initial moment here, not exactly the best.
Yeah, the end result probably would have been the same. But
yeah, so we get shots of Steven just kind of like chugging along downtown. He's just running across the street,
walks to a church, which of course is where the chief of police is located.
Yeah, this definitely feels like they had a duplex and they just like painted police on one door and something else on the other.
Yep.
Yeah. And then he runs upstairs. Guy in there isn't really helpful, the police officer.
Dude, the deputy that's right there, he's basically like rubbing his hands together like an evil villain.
Yeah, he's like so excited.
He's
he can't
giddy.
Contain it.
He
like something fishy's going on just from this.
Yeah,
right,
I'm like, oh, we got a conspiracy happening. So he goes and talks to the chief, and the chief is just like, I drove Reggie to the airport myself. Like, this definitely didn't happen. He is retired in Florida with his daughter. And he's like, no, please just come watch the tape. Like, if you see the tape, like, I don't know what Reggie is. Maybe Rick's stupid. And
I also
the
like,
chief goes, yeah, fuck Rick, right? He's awful.
I like how he just get weird micro Rick exposition here. It's like, yeah, Rick, you know, the guy who's like his dad died and he had to move back in town to take care of his mother. And like, it's like, okay, are you just like, is this your opportunity right here to drop that lore that we need to know? That,
yeah.
Like, that little bit of information. It just was so, it was not organic. But, okay. Anyways, he gets the guy to go. He's like, all right, fine. I'll follow you, even though I don't really believe it. But you better have something good there.
Yeah.
So he goes there, takes him back to the store. Rick is missing.
Yeah.
Tape is missing.
And the store was left wide unlocked.
Yes.
Like, wide open. So, and the chief of police is like, yeah, no, Rick is not reliable. I literally just said this to you. I'm not concerned about him. Like, whatever.
Also, there is a tape there, but it's like actual home footage.
Yeah.
Of like a bunch of kids just
that
playing.
Tape got swapped out for the beginning of one of those sinister tapes.
Oh, God. Yeah.
It looks like the night fishing one is what it makes me think of.
Yeah. Oof. Those are so creepy, man.
Yeah.
All right. So Steven's at home.
Yeah, he's not eating his dinner, and Rachel's concerned. She's like, listen, Rick probably pulled a prank on you.
And Steven's like, why does everybody hate this kid?
He's I know.
Been there a lot.
If I were Rick, I would have gotten the fuck out of there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I'd be like, cool. My mom screams into the wall for her phone. She hasn't updated her phone since the 1940s. Yeah,
the oldest fucking yeah. phone ever. Okay, so, yeah, apparently his wife, Rachel, works at City Hall. So she's like...
So she drops this weird exposition for them. She's like, listen. We came to town for a change of pace. I gave up my cushy job as a lawyer, and you gave up your childhood dream of managing a movie theater. Like, yeah. What is happening?
I know, it's so fucking stupid. And
when she said your childhood dream of running a movie theater, it made me think of Homer's dream of working in the bowling alley. Yeah.
So, like, why did they do this? It sounds like she's, like, a little bit resentful. It's like, yeah, I had this awesome fucking job, and your job was kind of okay.
Yeah, your job was a hobby.
You're basically doing the same thing here, and you're just not actually playing the movie.
I actually, like, literally, I know running a business is a lot. I can't even imagine running a theater, and I'm not talking down about running a theater. It's just the way they portray it.
Yeah,
in this
no,
movie.
It's just the way
this
she
is not personal projection.
No. But she's like, you know what? Fine. I'll use my connections at City Hall and I'll dig through the files for Reggie to see if we can find out some information on him.
Totally not an abuse of my power and privilege.
Totally not. All right. So day two.
Yeah. No Rick at the store.
Well, we get the extended shot of the dog walking up to the camera, yeah. Sniffing.
Mm-hmm. And then when we pull back, we see that there's a hand just sticking out of that trash bag the dog was sniffing.
Mm-hmm.
A woman comes in carrying a baby very precariously.
She's not very, and this is a real baby, but she's not very careful with her baby.
So here's this thing. This is the woman who says the whole thing about the like, oh, it's rated R for violence, not nudity. Cool, my kids can watch it.
Yeah.
If you go and look at IMDb under the parental guidance stuff, like it, parents will go in. It's like... user reported.
Yeah, I've seen
this. And they will like talk about like, oh, here's the issues with cursing, here's the issues with nudity, here's the issues with violence. And more often than not, like if a woman is killed in a film, if she is not fully clothed, that doesn't go in the violence section, that goes in the nudity section.
That's so weird.
Yeah, like it's bizarre because I'm like, yes, obviously the problem with the dead woman is her
yeah,
titties.
You can see her boobies.
Yeah. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. America's kind of a weird place sometimes.
Yeah. So that was a very on the nose line. Yeah.
Blood Cult's a real movie, too.
Yeah.
I don't think we've ever seen it, but I don't know. It's got a cool name. I'd be down to watch it.
Intercut on day two with, Emery looking through. Sorry, I wrote him as Emery in my notes most of the time instead of Steve. I don't know why.
Because that was his last name.
Yeah, that's the first introduction we got to him. Intercut with him, like at the store dealing with shit. We get Howard and Eli, who have picked up a hitchhiker and tied her up after drugging her. And they are going to torture her with various instruments, including a straight edge razor, an ice pick, and some scissors. And.
Yes.
I even though this is a movie, because this is the snuff film within the movie, I feel icky talking about it in much more detail than that.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty. It's like honestly, these part. Like,
it
this
makes
one
you
right
very
here,
uncomfortable.
I think this one is the worst one.
Yeah,
because this one, I feel like it lingers on it a little bit longer. Like you see it from begin to end. Like the other ones, you're kind of just seeing parts of it.
Yeah. And we actually like hear her begging for her life more than the other ones, because the other ones, it's like they're already half dead or they die quickly.
She was probably legitimately creeped out, like a home video being made in some random dude's basement. That's exactly what was happening at this point. Maybe something real was about to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe she was going to be like the actress in The Vampire Takes a Bride.
Yeah, exactly.
She didn't know. Okay, so yeah, so that's the side plot of day two. Meanwhile, we've got Emery, who is at the store, and it's really busy, because of course it's busy when your only other employee doesn't pulls a no call no show.
Yeah. I like that these people are still into horror movies though, mm-hmm. even though like they seem to just really only like snuff films, but like apparently they also really like horror.
I like the one woman that comes in and she's like, these are late. And he goes, okay. She goes, well, don't I have a late fee?
Like,
good. Like, yeah, sure, what a whatever. Weird moral code she has. She's in snuff film land, but she wants to make sure she pays for her late fee.
This town, full of the nicest people. They have just one little quirk.
Just one little quirk.
They like to make snuff films.
Yeah.
That's all it is. Yeah. Other than that, fantastic place to live. Live there.
Basically, yeah.
If you pass through, or if you're a newbie and you don't like snuff films like these people, you might have some problems.
Yeah, I think he should have gotten on board the horror train.
He could have just like been like, fine, okay, I like the Chainsaw movie.
Yeah, the Chainsaw movie is great.
They're like, that's all we wanted.
It's the peak of cinema. I mean, this dude, though, like, is like, I'm just talking to people about Woody Allen, so he's definitely pretentious.
Okay, where are we?
Okay, so we've got that. We also have Mrs. Emery, Rachel. She is at work. An employee comes up and is like, can I please go to lunch now?
I know. I noticed that. She's like, all right, here's this. Can we please go to lunch? She's like, no. She's like, you can go ahead and go, though. I'm not gonna.
Yeah, and then she takes the time. She tries to call down to Reggie's number in Florida, but she gets told that, like, the connection for long-distance calls is down. So she calls the operator, gives the phone number, and we see the operator connect it to a person in the same room as her, which Rachel doesn't know what Reggie sounds like. Of course.
Yeah.
So she asked for his social security number, and I'm like, this is how a lot of old people get scammed.
I know, yeah.
I was like, no, just give her the last four, Reggie! Yep.
And this random dude just pulls out the folder, he's like, and he reads it off.
So these people were, like, prepared. It's not just the snuff film. It's, like, the town, like, the sense of closeness with the town covering it up together.
Yeah, that's kind of freaky,
I think it's
honestly.
part of the appeal for them.
Yeah. Also, a little bit before then, when we were still at the video store, Rick asked that customer that asked about the late fee. He's like, hey, did you know Rick, or not Rick, Steven asked. He's like, you know Rick, by the way? And she's like, yeah, he works here.
Yeah.
She's like,
because do you know where he is? She was like, call his mom.
Yeah, call him. And he's like, these are all fantastic ideas. Thank you. So he does call his mom, who has the oldest antique phone in existence at this point.
She might not be able to hear because she's like shouting into it.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, he went to Boston with some friends last night, which I call bullshit because we've established Rick has no friends.
No friends. Yeah. Which, like, who told her that? Because he didn't.
Is she making snuff films? Did her husband die snuff film keep her compliant?
Maybe.
Lure her son back in because they all fucking hated him when he was in town the first time.
Yeah, they're like, we're not done with you. Get your fucking asshole son back here too. Yeah. I'm not done with that little shit.
Yeah, that's why she's like so shaky and trying to push him off the phone.
Yeah. She's like, that's why I have this phone. I didn't think it would work.
Yeah, this is a prop. Yeah.
I'm getting calls here. What the hell? Okay, so Steven locks the door. He sees that
a tape has been placed on the counter.
Somebody
when
dropped
his back
one off.
Was turned. Yeah. And he puts it in the VCR, and unfortunately, it is the tape of Rick's death. It shows what happened. People burst into the store that yesterday, and they were trying to get the tape back from Rick, and he's trying to, like, run out of the store, and it's a whole big thing, but it ends with him dying.
It's Eli and Howard that did it. The bubbies that like to make snuff films, apparently. Yep. All right.
Snuff bubbies? Snubbies?
Snubbies. So Steven goes back to the police to show them the tape. He brought the tape this time.
And the chief hits record when he goes to watch it, and there's Station, which I knew was gonna happen.
I knew too.
As soon as I saw the red light, I was like, the red light.
Everybody in this town loves these films, like they love tapes, and this guy is holding it and he's putting it in backwards, like, I don't know how this fucking shit works.
He did the thumb drive thing where he puts it in one way, it doesn't go in, he flips it, doesn't go in, and he flips it one more time and it suddenly works.
So he's like, oops, I guess I just recorded over it. And Steven's like really mad and kind of giving him shit about it. He's like, hey, don't you throw your accusations at me. I didn't fuck anything up. You're just stupid.
So Emery goes home and talks to his wife. He's like, this is going to sound really weird, but I think it's a town conspiracy. And then his wife puts holes in, like, literally everything he's brought up. But she goes, I need a drink. This is all just too spooky.
Yeah, she's like, might be a little bit fishy, even though I just pointed out all the flaws in your argument.
Yeah, she like literally had a logical explanation for every single one of them. And then she's like, yeah, no, something's again, definitely happening.
She probably went off script and like was responding because there was no script. She's like, yeah, there's actually problems with this, this, this. And then she's like, oh yeah, my character's supposed to be in on this. And she's like,
spooky, I want a drink. And then they... Here's my snobby coming out because I'm used to our nice little bourbon glasses, but they're drinking out of like the tall plastic kitchen glasses.
Yeah. $6 budget, man. Come on.
Yeah. So day three. We see some folks driving and they're being followed by Howard and Eli.
Yeah, they're going tubing.
Mm-hmm. Or are they going canoeing? It's unclear because the one woman that's left in the Jeep tells somebody that they're going tubing, but the people inside Ed's Deli say that they need instructions on how to get to the canoe rental place.
Yeah. Okay. We don't really know. They don't really know. But they stopped at a deli to get instructions.
Mm-hmm. And get some sodas.
Yeah. Townspeople are gawking at them. They're all just kind of staring.
Yeah. It feels very unfriendly.
Yeah. There's like a cop outside talking to an old lady, and then they like notice, and then the cop walks over to the deli and stands in front of the door so nobody else can enter.
Yeah. And they change the sign to say closed. Mm. And then Ed offers them, I'm assuming it's Ed.
Yeah. It's gotta be.
Deli.
Yeah.
He offers them some freshly squeezed lemonade, which, I refuse to believe is actually freshly squeezed, but I'm just jaded from my former food service jobs.
I'm willing to bet it's probably not even lemonade, honestly.
Well, we do know it is also, in fact, poison, whatever else is in there, because they die.
They die. Mm-hmm. They take a drink and they get sick, collapse, and then Ed and the boys get them and start chopping them up.
Yep. Howard and Eli arrive and they take the woman and the Jeep outside. They kill her.
Oh, he's dressed as Cousin Eddie here.
He is.
Ned is never given any explanation. He's just dressed
as Cousin Eddie, and like the whole time, like they're there, and then they're taking the bodies out to the woods. Mm-hmm. And then this shot where they take the body out to the woods cuts over to Bill digging the hole in his backyard. So you think like it's part of it, except then he just goes inside and he's like, these boys are getting real good at it. Damn. Hey, yeah, good kill. It's pretty okay.
All right. Yeah, dude, yeah, he's like John Travolta. Like, we really tried to get Travolta for this
car. So yeah, and then back at the deli, they're slicing one of the arms like it's deli meat.
Yeah, and then we cut to Rachel, who has arrived at the deli.
She orders half a pound of the yellow American cheese. It's very specific.
What other kind of American cheese are there?
Half a pound of bologna. She goes and gets some milk, and you know she's going to eat all of this on white bread.
She's going to eat this all in the car on the way home. It's like, it's spooky. I'm nervous.
Yeah, I like to imagine that they don't actually slice up the deli or the cheese for her, so it's just like a hunk of just cheese, and she's just like,
she's like Charlie Kelly. Yeah. Like, gets a little bit nervous. She's got to have her cheese. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. She leaves her bag, her purse on the counter there, and somebody sees that opportunity to slip in a little VHS tape.
Mm-hmm. And she gets home, and they decide that they're going to watch the tape together. Little Zach Productions, which is also the production company for
the movie that we're watching.
Film, yeah.
Yeah, which I thought that was cool. I like this little zoom in feature thing, like where like it's zooming in on text or something. Like,
and then it like the background is like the text. It looks like a pattern, but it's actually the text in different colors.
How the fuck did they do that?
I don't know, but it's really cool.
It was really cool. I liked it a lot. So
it's the Vampire Takes a Bride.
Yes.
And we start off with a woman sitting at a vanity brushing her hair to a knockoff Chariots of Fire. And then a vampire comes in, and you can tell that this actress thought she was going to be in a real movie.
Yeah.
But, like, a smut film.
Yeah, like, it was definitely, like, an art house film, probably, is how they phrased it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they definitely pulled a Ty West X on her, and they're like, yeah.
Yeah. So, the vampire goes over there, starts smooching on her, and then bites her neck in slow motion, and the slow-mo shot literally, I think, is like 4 minutes long.
I zoned out a little bit.
I did too. Like, it's like frame by frame. It is drawn out way too long. This did not need to be this long.
And then he pulls out a knife and stabs her tummy.
and she's dead. Mm-hmm. And this is weird because none of the snuff films before looked like this. And Rachel's like, yeah, this actually like has production value.
And then Steven says probably my favorite line in the whole film. He goes, not really. It's daylight outside and you can see his reflection in the mirror.
I love how he just like starts critiquing the actual movie. Like to him, he actually watched cinema
he
there.
He watched a murder happen and he was like, but you know that that's not the lore, right?
Yeah, right. Like this is not how vampires operate. That
also,
is not...
vampires don't even use knives.
Yeah, he's like, this is not a real movie.
Okay, so they are going to call New York and he's going to talk to his old projectionist about horror because he's
a really
horror nut.
Into horror movies.
But he gets the same, like, no long distance calls can be completed. So they call the operator, give the exact number to the theater, and the theater, because obviously he's going to know what the projectionist sounds like.
Yeah.
So they have a, like, fake recording ready to go that the theater, which there's never been a recording when you call the theater before.
New technology.
And it says that they're going to be showing a double feature of Night of the Living Dead and Vampire Takes a Bride.
Yeah.
And if this movie had more budget, I think we would have gotten a little side trip to New York for it. But as it is, they have $6 to work with.
I think they planted that seed because they got the one that is free to use. Like, Night of the Living Dead. We can use that one if we want to do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she's like, I'm going to call into my job tomorrow and then I'm going to come in and review all of the store members.
Yeah, just to see if it jars anything.
Yeah. So day four, they get to the store, and she starts reviewing the files, and a kid comes in and asks for a triple X feature, and he's real fidgety, and I think he actually just needs to get his rocks off. Like, I don't think he is worried about the snuff plot in this exact moment.
No, not in this moment. He really just kind of, like, wants to go home and just have some fun.
Joanna comes in. I'm not age-shaming anyone.
Hmm.
Okay? But she's definitely dressed like hello fellow youths because she's yeah. got like the neon colors on and the headphones around her neck. She's like, I'm just here visiting my aunt and uncle. And I'm like, Joanna, you are 37 years old.
Hi, my name is Joanna. You have a I'm 15 years old.
You have a sensible haircut. Like,
yeah. She's a little bit too put together to be able to pull that whole look off.
Yeah. And then she's like, I want to watch some Abbott and Costello.
Yeah. And then Steve's like, oh God, thankfully somebody here that doesn't care about horror movies.
This maybe the whole town actually doesn't have a conspiracy and they've just clocked that the Emerys are assholes because the second they get somebody in there that's not into horror, they start shit-talking all 300 other members of this town.
It'd be like a fun prank if they're like, okay, I found out the guy that owns the video rental store hates horror movies. Let's all just rent horror movies there all at the time and drive them out of town.
So she was like, yeah, no, now that you mention it, last year when I was visiting my aunt and uncle, I was only 16 then, I made some friends and all they wanted to do was watch movies and eat popcorn.
Yeah, and it's like not like the normal type either. Like it's like these really low budget, like they almost felt homemade.
So they convince her to bring one of those tapes to her. And she's like, okay, yeah, I'll try and get one as soon as I can. So when she leaves, she's getting onto a bike, but she's being followed by Howard and Eli in their Jeep. And they take her. The Emerys watch this happening, so they follow along in their car to try and help her. They realize that it's Howard and Eli when they get out of their car and like they start walking down to the cellar.
The slowest fucking chase ever, by the way.
Yeah.
It's like a 5-minute
chase.
They're
like, this doesn't concern you.
Yeah, they're driving 5 miles per hour.
Yeah, we also didn't need to see the entire drive.
Also, we really do. We see them drive from the video store to the actual location. And when they stop and they arrive at Eli's house, like, they just get out. And then, like, it's kind of awkward because, like, they caught up. There was not really a chase. And
yeah.
He's like, yeah, you all shouldn't really be coming here. And then they just walk inside the house. And then they both just kind of awkwardly stand on the yard. Like, what do we do now?
Rachel's like, I want to call the cops. And he's like, they're in on it. And she's like, but I'll try and call the state police. He goes, well, I'm still going down there. She goes, well, then I'm going to stay with you. When they get down there, they're greeted by a large group. The entire town, almost. How do they all fit in this basement? We're not going to be concerned about it.
No.
A suspension of disbelief, because we got to have a slow motion shot of them all laughing and waving their various weapons at them as they reveal that this has been a cult production the entire time. Unlike, you know, that normal, well-known thing in other towns where people make their own homemade pornography and swap it around with their friends and family,
yeah.
They do it with snuff films. But because, you know, you can't reuse the same actors. They have to use transients and people that are trying to leave and people they just plain don't like.
I honestly, for like a thing here, I thought that this is kind of cool. How, yeah. Like, this is all explained and stuff. It's the girl that is pretending to be
Joanne.
15.
Joanne. Yeah.
You get the people, though, that rented movies here. The guy that wanted the chainsaw movie, he's the one holding the chainsaw. Mm-hmm, the guy that wanted the Triple X movie, he's over there. I don't know what he's holding. I don't want to know. I don't think
we can't
it's
see
related
both
to
hands.
The movie. Yeah. But I thought it was a nice little touch. And then you got Eli and Howard down there, too. Mm-hmm. And they're like, they all kind of just strap them in a corner.
And they're like, we like your shop, but we need some new management.
Yeah, they want to use it to just distribute mm-hmm. and rent, you know, like snuff films.
Which we find out in day 5, the epilogue. They changed up this store real quick. They had all of this shit ready to go.
Oh, yeah. They've been planning.
Because I'm not saying, I'm not calling it day 5 in the epilogue. It says day five epilogue.
Yes.
So the video studio grand opening under new management. The tapes now have names of the victims on them. Mm-hmm. They're all hand-drawn, which brings me back to the days of, like, Hastings, when the cover would get lost to something, and yeah. like an employee with a little bit too much downtime one shift would like draw a new cover for it.
That's totally something I would do too. I yeah. would love that.
I wish that they had done that, but instead it's just like names written.
Yeah.
But yeah, they say that you must be a lifer to be a member. Joanne is directing folks towards the TV where they're showing a preview coming soon. It is Rachel and Steve Embury's video.
Yep, and you just see they got like drilled in the head, and mm-hmm. we don't really see what happened to them. Mm-hmm. We just see that they died.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the end of the movie.
Okay.
That's how it ends.
I think I'm going to keep it at 5.5. That feels just exactly right for this.
Okay.
Like, it's fun. It needs a little bit of help with the pacing, because this is a movie that, like, an hour 15 would have given us everything we enjoyed about it and taken away the stuff that we're just like zoning out for.
Would have been perfect for yeah. this movie. Yeah. I'm going to keep mine at 6 for that reason, too.
Okay.
All right. Let's see. Whatever to be or not to be things here.
Who did you relate to?
Who did I relate to? No, what did Scout?
That's later.
Oh, okay. You're right.
We'll do the other stuff first.
Okay, other stuff first.
Who did you relate to?
Man, there's a lot of weird people in this movie. I'm just gonna relate to the fucking guy that like was digging a hole in his yard and then came back inside, because like after a hard day's work, I like to come home and watch some rad movies.
Yeah, you. This is Travis on the weekends in the summer. Mows the lawn, comes in, takes a cold shower with a beer.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I'm ready to just watch some fucking movies.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
And I was looking at this guy, and like I saw how he looked. I was like, you know what? This kind of reminds me of my dad from like those old pictures. He kind of looks like my dad. Maybe this would have been me in the 80s. I don't know. Could have been. What about you? Who do you relate to?
That guy that comes in and says, I want that movie with the chainsaw.
Yeah. Because we like movies with chainsaws, especially
yeah.
you.
Yeah. And yeah. I frequently, that's how I tend to describe the various Texas Chainsaw Massacre movies to you to try and figure out which one it is that I want to watch.
The one with the
I don't
chainsaw?
Know the, well, not like that, but like I'll throw out different like defining moments.
Yeah, except whenever we get to the prequel and the remake. Like the remake ones is when it really starts to get weird.
It's like, really confusing because they're so similar but different at the same time, and it's hard to really differentiate it to explain the one that I want to watch. Anyway.
Oh no, they do get kind of confusing. People think the Halloween movies are the most like out there timeline. It's the Texas Chainsaw movies.
It is Texas Chainsaw, and you will never convince me otherwise.
No.
Okay.
All right. We've already said our change, which mm-hmm. would be to trim it down some.
Yeah.
So what? It's time for Scott's favorite part.
Do we not have a dream sequel?
That's later.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, Travis, what do you think was Scout's favorite part?
Scout's favorite part in this movie is probably when the chief recorded over the videotape, because that seems like an asshole thing that Scout would do.
No. Obviously, Scout's favorite part was when the woman came in holding her baby one-handed, because Scout would love to be carried around like that into a video story.
I could just see Scout, just because like it gives her like room to squirm, because yeah. She likes to be able to squirm.
I could see her doing that thing where she's got like the one paw dangling.
Yeah, and she's also like, you know what, like, I'd be cool, I want to watch Blood Cult.
Yeah, she'd be like, yeah. She'd be like, I don't want any nudity.
I don't, yeah, no nudity, but if it's got blood and guts, I'll watch it.
She's like, I've got six nipples and you can't see any of them because I have the decency to grow hair over them.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. All right. Now time for Dreamsicle.
Okay. I know I do this a lot for sequels, but I want a crossover with this and Troll 2.
Oh, God. Okay. Does this take place in Niblog or Nilbog, or is it like a neighboring town?
I think it's gonna be, so remember in Troll 2 that the family, like, we're doing an exchange program.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they're going to exchange with somebody from this town.
Ooh.
Oh. So we get to see like the Nilbogians.
And this town is Funds, because Funds is snuff.
Okay.
Backwards. Okay. So Funds Town. Yeah.
Funds. Yeah. So the family from Funds and the family from Nilbog switch. So we get to see the snuff people deal with the trolls trying to eat them. And we get to see the trolls deal with people trying to kill them. And they're all suspicious of each other because they know what it looks like when a town has a mass conspiracy. See,
yeah. They're sending somebody over to do an exchange so they can get some new content, because suddenly they haven't had a lot of people coming through.
Yeah. Like, people started getting suspicious. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then, yeah, the person's like, all right, fine, I'll go hang out in Nilbog. There's something over there. And then it's like, oh, what's this green food doing here? And they eat it and they turn into a plant.
Yeah.
Or a troll. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe the real Nilbogians are the Funds inside of us. I don't know. Anyway, do you have a review?
Yeah, I got two reviews, because that's how we do it on To Be or Not To Be. We got a good review and a bad review. Which one do you want first?
Just whichever one you pull up first.
Okay, well, let's go with bad then. All right. So, this was a one. There were way more 1 out of 10s than there were 10 out of 10s for this thing.
Okay.
And the good one I got, the 10 out of 10 reviews were just not good. So I got like an 8 out of 10 for that. But this one says, this movie should come with a disclaimer. Warning, shot on video. And no, not the modern day digital video, but plain old grab the family camera and make a movie kind of video. Believe me, I'm a lover of trashy movies, especially 80s horror, but this was just unwatchable. I could only sit through about the first 20 minutes before shutting it off.
This was the 8 out of 10?
No, this is the bad one.
Oh, okay.
The 1 out of 10.
Okay.
The only thing that was even remotely interesting was seeing the inside of the old school video store. The idea of the story is an interesting premise, but the lack of production value ruins it. Remake anyone? Avoid at all costs.
You can't remake this movie today.
Mm-mm. It doesn't. You could.
It'd be a lot harder to set up the premise.
It would, yeah. It would have to be like a period piece. Like, it would have to be set in the 80s, which I think a lot of people would, like, I feel like a lot of people have that nostalgia for that now, where it could work, maybe.
I guess.
Yeah.
But then I think it also takes away some of the, like, because if we try and improve the home video look of it, it won't look like a home video. You know what I mean?
Well,
like,
that ruins some of it. You can get these camcorders still. People are selling this shit just, you know, out there. Like, there's a whole community for people that record with camcorders still. I'm not one of them because I don't have one, but I've been kind of working in those communities here lately because I think it's kind of fascinating stuff. I do agree that the premise is interesting, and I can see how somebody could find this to be too slow.
Yeah.
Because it is slow.
Yeah.
Like, it can get boring easily for some
people.
Well,
and the thing is, that first 20 minutes is probably the hardest. Once you get past that, it picks up a little bit.
Yeah.
Even though there's still a couple slow moments. But yeah, the day one is, it's rough.
Oh, yeah. It is kind of rough. Okay. The good review, which was an 8 out of 10. Video violence. I rate this a B. Another shot on video that is a full-on vintage 80s torture flick from when video stores were the in thing. This film really does bring you back. The scenery, the cars, buildings, fashion, VCRs. It also showcases a ton of great horror tapes on the shelves and movie posters on the wall of the store. They mentioned Critters and April Fool's Day, which I did notice those on there too.
Oh man, I missed those.
Rick gets pinned on the April Fool's Day one by Eli when they go in there and kidnap him. Or kill him, I guess.
I missed that.
Yeah. Overlong, nonsense dialogue, and sometimes whole scenes, amateur acting, perky boob shots, gratuitous violence, cheap gag-looking gore shots with plenty of blood and body parts. It's funny even in places it's not meant to be. There's a fair amount of suspense, even if predictable. And, of course, that stash on Eli is perfect. Fun times. Yeah. See, and that is there for the people that are into those things. I like some of those things. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, it's not necessarily there, like, a lot. Like, it comes in, like, waves.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, there's there for people that like the 80s trash like us.
Yeah.
See, I feel like we're perfectly in the middle here. Like, we like those things, and we also agree with the faults that the first review said.
Yeah.
We're pretty much right there in the middle on this thing.
Okay.
So, yeah, those are the reviews we have for it.
Okay.
Which leads us to our titular question, to be or not to be. Would we recommend this to somebody else?
I would definitely recommend it. I don't know if I would watch it again myself.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of, like, it feels kind of like a beating to get through at times.
Yeah, for sure.
But I would watch the sequel.
I would too. I'm with you. I would recommend it. I would watch it again if I'm recommending it to somebody for a first watch.
Okay.
I'll be there with you for your first watch.
Okay.
But if I'm by myself or if it's you and me, I wouldn't suggest this as like a rewatch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, I am kind of curious about the second one. So I don't know. Maybe we can watch that. It's short.
Yeah.
So it's not like a huge time sink.
Yeah. Speaking of sequels to movies we've covered on this bonus series, Pool Party Massacre 2 is officially in pre-production.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like that's just important for everybody to know.
That's going
to
be an official one that we talk about on the show.
Oh, yeah. We're very excited about this.
Yeah, I am very, very much looking forward to that movie.
So
that's it for this month's To Be or Not To Be.
Be sure that you join us for our regularly scheduled programming this Thursday when we talk about Hostel Part 2.
Yeah, which we're about to talk about right now.
Yep, so...
in the meantime, you can find us on social media. Mm-hmm. We have our Twitter and Blueski, which is Least Fave Pod. You can also find us on Instagram and Threads at Least Favorite Scary Movie, or Least Favorite Scary Movie Podcast. Yeah.
There you go.
Yep. We're also on Gmail. You can email us there at leastfavoritescarymovie@gmail.com.
And on Gmail?
On Gmail.
You sound
on
like...
email.
You sound like yeah. me with the YouTubes.
The YouTubes. Yeah, That email works for all other emails, no matter what you use.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a website, whatsyourleastfavoritescarymovie.com, where you can find all of our stuff and more there.
Thanks to our patrons, mm-hmm. Joe.
Freakatron.
As is his name, Amber and Michael. You guys keep the lights on, and we really appreciate you. If you want to pitch in other ways, you can do so by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to this podcast wherever you listen to it. Mm-hmm. It does help people know. It helps us having a higher follower number and a higher review count. It tells the algorithm we're legit.
Yeah, it gets us out there. It gets us a little bit more exposure, which really helps.
Yep.
So thank you guys for doing that for us.
So.
All right. I think that's
it. We'll see you on Thursday.
We will see you guys on Thursday with Hostel Part 2.
Happy and safe Valentine's Day.
Ooh, yeah.
Ooh.
All right. See y'all later.
Bye.
Bye.